Hello, everyone. Welcome today to this episode of the Risky Mindset Podcast. Today, we have Fola on the call. She's the founder of Winfinic Consulting, which is an IT audit and cybersecurity training firm in Canada. So we're going to find out all about her. We're excited to have you on. Welcome to the call today, Fola.
Thank you so much, Tokwe. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm excited to be here as well.
That's good. So let me start this call to actually find out about, you know, the person you were before your childhood and how you grew up, that what shaped you to become the person you are today. So tell us a bit about that.
Okay, so for starters, kudos to my parents. I had a fantastic childhood, I must say. So I'm the only daughter out of a family of three. I have two brothers. So being the only girl, I had a special spot in my parents' heart. And also with respect to growing up, I grew up in a very nice neighborhood. I had nice neighbors. I had good friends. I was also exposed to, a lot of traveling around. And then the school I went to, there were a lot of socialites. So, in terms of keeping up with trends, what's going on. And most importantly, I had that family support. So the support from my parents, support from my teachers, support from my siblings. And I've always been a talkative, right? So I think it's even moving to Canada that has made me calm down a bit. So generally, my childhood was really good.
That's good. So after that, when did you move to Canada? Was that how long have you been in Canada for?
So I moved to Canada 4 years ago. I believe in June 2019. So, when I was thinking of moving to Canada, my husband was never he was never on board. He didn't want to move. So when we got our papers, we soft landed in Canada in 2018. So we decided to come around for 2 weeks, see what Canada is all about, go back to Nigeria for some time before making that, ultimate move. Because again, it's a huge decision, right? Leaving your jobs, your family. It's like moving from known to the unknown. So it took some time for us to make up our minds, before making that huge leap.
Okay. So when you moved to Canada, what was your, how easy was it to get set up in the country? Because, when people coming from Nigeria, there's always this time period where you're not sure, you're able to get a job and everything. Tell us about that transition for you.
Wow, man, these are memories. So when we moved to Canada, I recall the night before we were supposed to leave Nigeria, the friend we were supposed to stay with messaged us and said, unfortunately, we could no longer stay with him. So a night before, we didn't even know where we were going to stay in Canada. I remember my mom was even almost in tears saying, oh, my kids are moving. I don't know where they're going to stay and all of that. So we had to start searching for Airbnb impromptu. The Airbnb we found, it hadn't been approved. So even on our way while we were, in transit to Canada, we kept on hoping and praying that the owner of the Airbnb would approve it. And then, of course, we finally landed. We moved into the Airbnb, and thankfully, they were really lovely people. So a family of Indians, I know they are from India, really lovely. You would have thought they are our long-lost family. Yeah. So there was the grandma, the grandpa. They helped us watch over our kids. They were telling us, you guys have to stay in Mississauga. Don't move out of Mississauga. But then we tried to look for an apartment in Mississauga. We're always losing bids. And I think we probably didn't know that, getting an apartment in Canada for immigrants was such a big deal. So our assumption was, you come to Canada, maybe pay some months in advance. But oh my goodness, it was definitely not that. It was crazy. We had a long list of, expectations of the type of home we wanted to live. But for every time we lost maybe a list bid, we kept on reducing our list till it became bare minimum. It got to a point that we're so desperate that anywhere would have sufficed. And during this period, we were moving from Airbnb to Airbnb. So within 1 month, we had moved in between three different Airbnbs, only Mississauga. And when I was moving to Canada, because I didn't know so much about Canada, I'm sure a lot of women will be able to relate to this. I had cargoed practically, the whole of Nigeria. So in moving my boxes, my husband was the one doing the heavy lifting, like from Airbnb to Airbnb. At a point in time, he sort of sprained his back from carrying, you know, really heavy boxes. So, oh man, that period was, it wasn't nice at all. Finally, I chatted with a friend and he said, oh, we should explore North York. That rather than, you know, looking for townhomes, you know, all our wants and desires, we should cut them down. Yeah. Look for maybe your normal two bed, come to North York. And we found one. And when we even found that one, I had an interview. So in between all of this searching for an apartment, of course, we're also searching for jobs.
Yeah.
And my husband was so strict with that. I really thank him now that I think about it. So every morning, the plan was when you wake up, you have your bath, you get ready, like you're going to work. Mm-hmm. So you get on the dining table, you turn on your laptop from 9 to 12, you search for jobs, and then at 12, you go for lunch. Yeah. Like it was really crazy. But what that really helped us, you know, achieve is within that 1 month, both of us were able to get jobs, yeah, right? And then we still had to battle with getting an apartment. So finally, he went to this place in North York. And it was also a battle because apparently they said we had to pay immediately. We had to go get the drafts and all of that. So thankfully, we were able to get an apartment. And then we moved to North York.
Yeah.
But what I would say in retrospect is for anybody moving to Canada, I think planning goes a long way, being strategic, mm-hmm, knowing what to expect and setting your expectations.
I can imagine, because it's a big jump for a lot of people, right? So it's something that, you know, planning is definitely something that has to be done. And also, I like that idea of, you know, actually waking up in the morning, 9 to 12, you actually going to work, and then from there, you know, do the application. But that also gives you that discipline of, you know, I just don't care around with this. Yeah, so that's good.
It does. And more importantly, it helps you save the money you brought from Nigeria. Because, I mean, for those that have moved recently, you know that in this country, there's so many bills waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the earlier you start making money, the better you can start paying those bills with the salary you now earn and not your savings from Nigeria.
All right, so tell us about how you got into cybersecurity. Was that your first role when you got to Canada, or how did that happen?
So, one, I studied computer science, although studying computer science was almost, I wanted to become a petroleum engineer. I mean, if you guys remember, several years back in Nigeria, petroleum engineering was the in thing.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to work for Shell, Chevron, and the rest. So I wanted to study petroleum engineering, but I guess God had, you know, another plan for me.
Mm-hmm.
I got admission in Covenant. It was definitely no petroleum engineering. I got one with Unilag, also not petroleum engineering. And then Bowen, which I finally attended, also did not offer me engineering. So they offered me computer science. And I'm like, oh, well, whatever. I'm just going to take this. So I studied computer science. And then when I finished, I think I did my NYSC at Access Bank. So I was in systems architecture.
Okay.
So I've been in IT all of my career. And when I left Access Bank, I moved to KPMG, where I worked as an IT auditor. So I started my career in IT audit. And then from there, even while at KPMG, from IT auditing, I started moving into cybersecurity. So specific engagements like penetration testing, e-channel review, PCI DSS assessment, and all of that. So that's how I found myself within the IT audit and cybersecurity space. So that's what I've been doing right from time, even in Nigeria.
Okay, that was a good transition also too, because that field actually just became very popular or became really very needed in the last, I would say, 6 to 7 years when there are a lot of threats online. You know, so that's actually in the correct right place at the right time, I would say, right?
Exactly. And that's why I tie back to, when I wanted to become a petroleum engineer, who would have known that with climate change and all of this, you know, current happenings in the world, there will be a decline, you know, in that field.
Exactly.
But the good thing is, several years ago, it wasn't easy for people to transition, right? Several years ago, you had to go to university to study at least something related to technology. But now in 2023, you can easily transition with no technology background, without a technical degree, you can easily transition, right? So that's really good. I mean, technology keeps evolving. And with that evolution, the risks within that space keeps, you know, blowing up. The cyber threat keeps increasing. Even the threat landscape keeps widening, right? So there's that increasing demand for cybersecurity professionals.
So what, let's talk about Wayfinny Consulting. So what inspired you to start the business Wayfinny Consulting?
Okay, that's a very good question. And that's a question I get a lot of times. Yes. So when I moved to Canada, you know, a lot of my friends back in Nigeria wanted to make that move as well to either UK, US, Canada, or Australia. And then when they move here, I mean, not everyone gets a job so soon. For some people, it takes some time. And it's not because they don't have the skills. I guess it's just probably because they still don't understand, you know, the work culture, the job strategy tips for this, you know, economy. So a lot of people reached out to say, oh, I'm an accountant. A good example, I mean, my husband didn't transition, but he was an accountant. So yeah. For accountants, for lawyers, you know, when you move here, the first thing you hear is, oh, all your papers from Nigeria. Oh, yeah. They don't work here anymore. So as an accountant, you need to start CPA. And you're like, what? After how many years in accounting? And you speak all that big, big grammar. And then CPA is so stressful, right? And then lawyers, different, you know, career professionals, maybe for one reason or the other, they are unable to continue in their career path. Or maybe they feel like, you know what, I'm not getting the right compensation for what I do. Or maybe I'm even bored. So a lot of them will say, you know what, I'm tired of what I do. I keep hearing about cybersecurity, IT, you know, they're like buzzwords right now. So I'm really interested in moving into this space. So a lot of people reached out to me, even my old colleagues, people that had not spoken to me in a while. And it just started, we had like a WhatsApp group. So we're just freestyling, right? Every Saturday, I teach, I show them the materials. When they have interviews, I prep them. And luckily, you know, they were all getting jobs. And then maybe after they get jobs, I mean, remember, my very first student was a friend in the US who used to work in one of the telco companies in Nigeria. Yeah. And then he used to be in forensic. So he said he wanted to move into the IT or the GRC space. And I prepped him for an interview. And that was his very first interview in the US. And he got the job. I recall his wife even calling me to thank me afterwards. So, I mean, it became, you know, it was very informal at that point. But then, you know, word of mouth referral. So my friend told his friend told another friend. So slowly we started getting, you know, more formalized. I remember my students of those days, it wasn't structured. Some of them would get jobs and be like, you know what, I have a job, but I can't even deliver on this job. Or I have self-imposter syndrome. I have self-doubt. I have fear of the unknown, right? And then for me, I've always liked, you know, coaching. You know, I mentioned earlier that I talk a lot. So talking a lot just with my passion of, you know, teaching, and it is what I do. If you wake me up now and you ask me questions, because I'm an ex-consultant again, right? So for those in the consulting space, you know how it is. When you go to client sites, irrespective of any questions they ask, you would always have a very good response for them.
Yeah.
So it became a hobby. And then now I realized that, oh, there's actually potential for this. So within Canada, within the US, there's so many job openings. There's so many people that want to transition. So some have tried and have failed, or maybe they attended trainings and they got lost. Because again, in as much as we say, oh, you know, you want to transition into tech, you have the non-tech and the tech areas. It's still a journey. So it's going to take a lot. So anyways, to cut the long story short, that's how I found myself in this space. Yeah. Now, for the Wayfinny Consulting, it was actually my husband's company in Nigeria. That was the name. And when I started, I'm like, okay, Wayfinny. And then my daughter made a statement to say, mommy, for those that join this training, they are going to win, right? So that win in front of Wayfinny actually means something. And then we settled for that name, Wayfinny Consulting.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So now, like, I guess you started with, you know, training friends, family, like, you know, one-on-one and everything. So when you decided to, like, at least, you know, make this a bit more professional, like, you know, set up an Instagram page and actually train people that you actually don't know. So what were your first steps in getting the word out there and letting people know that, you know what, I'm doing this?
Okay, so because I also have a 9-to-5, mm-hmm. And then in this part of the world, especially depending on the industry you work for you to have a formal business, it's mm-hmm. called an outside business activity, mm-hmm. and you need to declare it at work as a side business. So it took a while for me to formalize it because, you know, when you're new to a country, you don't want to make errors.
Yes.
So I was being careful. So I just kept it within that space, but then it kept on growing bigger and bigger, right? Through word of mouth. So I remember having a conversation with my boss at work to say, oh, this is what is ongoing, right? This is what I do. It's not formalized as such, but this is what I do. And he was like, wow, as long as you're not using the name of the company, you're not doing your outside activity during your office hours, that's fine. And as an ex-auditor, of course, I asked him to please, you know, provide his approval to me via email. I mean, just in case something goes wrong, right?
So,
as soon as I was able to clear that, then it became obvious that I had to formalize things. So I got someone, I registered my company, and then I started putting the word out there. But then again, when I started formalizing things, I wasn't so particular as such. You know, for entrepreneurs, especially those that earn salaries, mm-hmm. at times, because you know you always get your salary. So at times you might be like, you know what, I can't stress myself. So at the beginning, I was very, that was how I was. I could not be so bothered. I mean, people were coming. But then I didn't, you know, had a conversation. So every year we do like a financial planning. So I had a conversation and I'm like, you know what? The best way to give optimal value to these people is by formalizing, by leveraging technology. And I started doing that about 2 years ago. Okay. Yeah. But I believe...
Tell us about the technology that you leveraged to get the word out there. Marketing.
Okay. So I believe it was... last year, I really became, you know, so serious about this. Mm-hmm. So in terms of technology, for sure, in terms of sending out emails to people, so I started, you know, going online, doing a lot of research. Mm-hmm. The truth is, there's a lot of information out there, right? If you're able to do a lot of research, you can actually get that information. So I started using tools like, I've always known how to use Canva. So Canva is for flyers, you know, for fancy graphical flyers. So I was using Canva, and then I got on MailChimp just to formalize.
Yeah.
I also got my domain from Google.
Okay.
And then I also got my domain emails just to sort of formalize in, because I was using Gmail for so long. And then, of course, for a business, Gmail is not very professional. Right. So I had to sort of make things professional. And right now I use so many tools. I try to integrate so many tools together. But of course, technology plays a key role. And I think this has even become more obvious because the bigger your classes are, you're now unable to keep up with, manual is prone to error, right? Mm-hmm. It can be cumbersome. So I had to do a lot of automation just so that, you know, my participants or the students can get the best out of the program.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you find the time, right? So on a day job, run with any consulting, you have a family, you have all these things going on for you. So tell us about the challenges of running the business to get out of everything.
Wow, Tope, that's a loaded question, because I must say, running a business plus your 9-to-5, especially if you don't want... some people are of the opinion that there's no way you can multitask. Something needs to sleep. But if you're a go-getter, you want to run your business. At the same time, you don't want your career to suffer,
yeah.
Right? Meaning you always want to be the best at what you do. It takes a lot. Especially when you're running a business, you know, within our community. no matter how you use technology. So right now I have a website, I have numbers, I have brochure, I have videos, I do information sessions, but people just want to speak to you and you need to create that time. So again, support is very key. So one, having a good structure in place. So even if you cannot get like maybe a physical assistant, like getting a virtual assistant would also go a long way. Delegation is also very key because, again, I can't do everything at the same time and I can't be everywhere at the same time. So delegation has also helped me so far. Also, working with a very good brand manager. For example, I worked with Arike early this year and I've also been working with Canada Vendors, Miriam of Canada Vendors. And I must say, they have been very instrumental in me, you know, creating my brand. So when I started my business, I didn't want to be out there, right? I don't want everybody in my business. I don't want everybody in Nigeria calling me and saying, ah, follow this, follow that. So I wanted it to be a company and I didn't want to be the face of that company. But then after having conversations with, you know, so many brand experts, I realized that in order for you to be out there, in order for you to get the visibility you need, there must be a face to the brand.
Tell us about that, though. Like, was that a bit, what was the hesitation for you? Because I've spoken to a couple of people on this podcast that are kind of maybe insecure or don't want to be the face of the business. They don't want to put themselves out there. What was the reason why you didn't want to be that?
Well, my reasons are a bit funny. Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't about insecurity for me. It was just about the fact that personally, I like keeping things to myself, sort of. I don't like everybody being in my face. So let me give you a good example. Since I've been out there, I mean, big shout out to Miriam of Canada Vendors. She's been really supportive. I mean, when you see all these content creators, oh my goodness, I never knew it was a lot of work. Creating content, making videos, oh my goodness. I mean, when you're making videos at times, you even get stuck. And I'm like, when I'm in class, I don't have these issues, but making videos. Anyways, my main reason was I didn't want a lot of people, especially people in Nigeria, you know, knowing what I do as such. And then, of course, bearing in mind where I work, I didn't want a situation. I believe that was my main issue. I didn't want a situation that it would now be very obvious at work that, oh, this is what Fala does.
Yeah.
All right. So that was my main issue. In fact, when I started, I wanted to actually start with another Nigerian who had like a platform. So she was supposed to help me do all of the marketing, you know, but that just didn't work out, right? Because she didn't go ahead to implement that platform. So for me, my work was very key because, again, in this part of the world, ignorance is not an excuse. As long as, you know, where you work, the information of where you work is out there, any activity you do might actually have an impact on where you work. So for me, that was my main issue. But then the good thing is when I joined my new organization that I work for, from the very beginning, even when I was filling out my application form, it was one of the questions and I was very happy about that. So I was able to declare it upfront, letting them know what I do, how many hours. So that gave me that comfort. Maybe because, you know, I mean, I do compliance a lot. No, I mean, I used to audit, so I know how it works. And I'm also very big on risk. I have a huge risk mindset. So I don't just look at, you know, the impact of my activities now, but in the near future. So for me, that was my greatest concern. But changing jobs and working with my current organization just helped me fix that issue. So as soon as I was able to get that out of the way, I was able to, you know, leverage that to go all out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Because also, if you think about it, it's also a personal brand as well, too, right? Help. I mean, imagine someone that wants to hire you, right? If you think about it, they see that you're actually training people. You can't train anyone without actually knowing what you're doing, right? So it also probably helps you with hiring as well.
Very correct. And I'm just going to give you an example on that. So I had a fireside chat, you know, starting a career in cybersecurity. And I brought some of my colleagues from consulting and my friends, you know, to be speakers. And then a recruiter reached out to me and used some words from my caption, because I talked a lot about diversity and inclusion, especially the inclusion of women in cybersecurity. And the recruiter actually used those exact words to send me that job post. So I totally agree with you. It's also really good for personal branding.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, so now let's talk about finance in the business. I don't know. I think about now you're trying to get the word out there. You need some money to, I don't know, set up. Are all your classes online virtual?
Yes. Yeah. All my classes are virtual.
You probably need some financing to get started. Like, how did you manage that? Did it all come out of pocket?
Oh, for sure. So at the beginning, it was out of pocket. But right now, it's no longer out of pocket. So again, starting up a new business, of course, you need to set aside some personal money, right? Like your seed fund. Yeah. So it used to come all out of pocket, but right now, no, it's no longer out of pocket. It's self-financing right now. But then again, for those that, you know, are looking to start a business, once you have that seed fund, of course, it's going to grow. And that is why you're going to put in all it takes, put in that extra effort, go above and beyond to make sure it's successful. Because at the end of the day, it's your money, right? And you don't want all that money to be blown away or wasted. So you want to make sure it grows such that the business is able to finance itself.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's something that I think everybody can take away from that. So now let's talk about back to the emotional challenges of running a business. Like, so now, how does your family support you? Because again, you have all this time spent with, obviously, with the day job, you have kids, you have a family to run as well. So how does the family support you, and what sacrifices have you had to make for the business?
You know what? As you grow, all right, as you're more out there, automatically, you're even under more pressure to deliver more value.
Okay.
And that puts a huge strain on you. I mean, in the last 1 month where I've been, you know, doing a lot of aggressive marketing, I can tell you for sure that even everybody in my house knows that something is ongoing. But I've had really good support system. My husband has been really fantastic, right? My kids as well. But then, of course, even no matter how good the support is, I'm sure a lot of things have also slipped under the crack, because clearly I've not had as much time for my kids. So that's something, again, I'm taking away on and I'm working on to put in structures in place to say, okay, in as much as I want to, you know, make my business grow, my family must also not suffer. And then what has worked for me is outsourcing. Outsourcing. So wherever I can outsource, whatever I can, I mean, something needs to give. It is impossible for you to do everything. And even if you try to, something is going to, fail. Things are going to slip through the cracks. So my phone, first of all, I have reminders. Everything I do, I have reminders. So I use technology to make sure that I never forget things. So that's one.
Yeah.
Now, with my mindset, I also think from perspective of preventive and detective control. So what I mean by that is, even if I'm setting alarms, I don't just set one because you might forget.
Mm-hmm.
So I do alarms, I do sticky notes on my laptops, and then I also even get my kids involved, right? So aside from me working, I have a business, I have my family, I'm also upskilling. So anyone that is in technology space knows that you need to keep upskilling. So I'm also preparing for my CISSP exam. And what I do with that is I try to get people around me to hold me accountable. So every day I come up with a to-do list. I mean, of course, I might not eventually get around to everything, but I try as much as possible. So what has helped me so far, delegation.
Yeah.
Paying for things. I mean, for your business to be successful, you need to understand that there's no free lunch in Freetown. So you must be ready to pay for things. Also, when you reach out to people and they know that it's not for free, then they are invested in helping you out. But of course, I'm still struggling with that, I must say. because in the last 2 months, I know that I've missed a lot of activities. Even my alarms did not help me, I must tell you. So that's still something I'm working on, right? I'm still doing some research. I'm still trying to reach out to people to find out how they've done it. There's no use trying to, you know, duplicate efforts. I know people have done this out there, so I'm reaching out to them to know how they did it and, you know, how I can be better.
Tell us about the aggressive marketing you've been doing in the last couple of months. What have you been doing?
Oh, my goodness. So I've been working with Miriam of Canada Vendors. And every day, oh, my goodness, Miriam should have been in the IT audit space. She knows how to follow up, I must tell you.
To get Miriam in this podcast, because I've actually had someone else talk about her as well. So, yeah, that's probably going to be a good idea. Yeah, go ahead.
She's been very instrumental and encouraging. So every morning and every night, you know, she sends me reminders. Remember that I didn't want to be out there. Right? So she kept on pushing to say, you know, this is your brand. I mean, you need to be in people's faces. You need to let them know the value they are going to get when they join your program. You need to let, you know, people that have passed through your program, you need to let them come back and give feedback. So that's what people are going to key into. Also doing videos, teaching, information session. So on my page, I'm sure a lot of, if anyone goes through my page right now, they will notice that in the last 1 month, I've been on my page practically every day with reels, videos, talking about firewalls, cybersecurity, IT audits, GRC, you know, all of that. So when you talk about, and man, for content creators, you guys are doing a great job. Kudos to you guys.
So yeah, like how has the content creation been going? Because it's not easy. You see people on Instagram, you know, making even like what short 3 minute videos, you think, oh, it's easy. But when you start,
my goodness. There was one Saturday that my husband actually left the house for me because I was shooting the same video and saying the same thing. And he was like, oh goodness, you're beginning to sound like a mosquito. Like, I'm tired. Like, even my kids, at times I'm shooting a video and in between, you know, someone just says something and you have to cut it. And in the last 1 month, I've had to learn so many tools. So I just created a page on YouTube, which I didn't have before. So I started learning how to do a lot of video editing, how to use Adobe for video editing, how to use VidIO for video editing, how to use Vimeo, which is a lot of work. Like yesterday night, for example, I didn't sleep till 1 a.m. because I was trying to work on some modules, you know, self-paced trainings for my students. So again, for you to be successful in your business, you need to be able to go above and beyond. You need to do extra, right? And also you need to learn how to upskill.
Yeah.
Reflect on what you've done before. Think of how you can improve. And the great thing is, even my past, like for every cohort I run, I also ask my participants or students or clients for feedback, because all of this feedback generally help people improve. All right. So I've been able to leverage all of this to improve. But clearly, aggressive media or aggressive advertising means when everything can be turned into a content. So when you're walking on the road, you need to be thinking, oh, how can I turn this into a video? So anything you're doing at all, you need to think from that perspective of, oh, how can I make this into a video?
So now, like, let's talk about your students or participants, as I should call them, right? So what, give us some memorable moments in your business, like where all this work you're doing, all the effort you put in, that makes you worth it. Like, tell us about that.
Wow, there's actually a lot of it. So I've made really good friends. So I attended an event in Brampton. I actually followed my neighbor to the event. And then someone walked up to me and introduced herself and introduced her mom to me. I was like, oh, mommy, this is the lady I've been telling you that helped me break into cybersecurity. Oh, my God, that was so emotional. And her mom was like, oh, my darling, thank you. God bless you. You know, that was really great for me, because what I see here is, for me, it's not just about the money. So for those that have passed my trainings, no. After the training, I reach out. I mean, I follow up. How's it going? What do you need to do next? This is what you need to do next, right? Even for some students, even during the class, I tell them that, you know what? You're not graduating from this class. Because one, I'm in the industry. right? Where I work, I'm actually a senior manager and I have people that are reporting to me. So most of my friends, maybe a new person joins their company and the person is underperforming and they call me and like, Fala, I hope these are not the people you train. So for me, it's not just about, you know, people just come in, I'm training them. I'm able to create long-lasting relationships. So last Easter, one of my students was at my house for Easter. And aside from that, that's the fact that I'm making a difference in people's lives, it goes a long way. When people get jobs, they reach out to me. I know that I'm financially empowering people. For immigrants, you know, moving to a new country, it can be a lot, psychologically, mentally, socially. I mean, I was telling a friend one of these days that not only am I a career coach, but it seems like I'm now a counselor as well, because people also talk to me on a lot of things. So for me, that's one experience of, you know, someone reaching out to me and, you know, introducing me to her mom. I mean, if I didn't make a huge impact in her life, she would not have done that. So that's one that stands out. Another one. So at times, for some of my classes, I actually coach both husband and wife. So you have, maybe the wife comes first, does the training, gets a job, is successful. And then the husband too joins and says, oh, I heard you helped my wife, right? I too want to do the same thing. Now, I know that for families like this, there's no way they can forget me because I've had that impact in their life. And it goes both ways. And that's what I tell people. The fact that I coach, I teach, it also stretches me because there's no way that my students are going to ask any questions. I must be able to answer their questions. So it goes both ways. And even the last, okay, so my previous job, it was so stressful. I didn't even think of actually moving. But then one of my students reached out to say, Fala, you know what? I think that you're too good for this job. I think that right now you should. So at times, they're even the ones, you know, looking for, they look out for me as well. So it goes both ways.
Yeah, that's nice. That's really nice. Okay, so we're coming up to the end of the interview, but before I let you go, we have one more question. What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs?
Wow. Advice? Well, as Miriam will say, there must be a fish to your brand. So it's always best to learn from other people's mistakes, right? So that you don't make those same mistakes. So if you're starting a new business, before you even start, you need to do a lot of research. You need to come up with a plan. And you also need to put timelines. So come up with it. So first of all, what do you want to do? I say that that's a key problem. A lot of people tell me, oh, Fala, at least you have this business. I don't know what I want to do. So for starters, look around you for something you're passionate about. You don't want to start a business and then in between you get tired or you get discouraged and you let it go. So you need to make that decision and be convinced that, oh, this stuff I'm getting into, I'm going it all the way. I'm not going to stop halfway. Secondly, you want to get support systems in place. So at times you have ideas, you just want to bounce it off someone. So within your network, within your friends, within your family, identify the different people you can bounce ideas off, your support systems.
Yeah.
Thirdly, you want to think from perspective of, oh, how do I leverage technology? Now, for a lot of people, they start their business without thinking of technology. And then along the line, they need to play catch up. Again, I know it's usually cost benefit analysis, right? Yeah. To use technology, you need to pay money. Nothing is free. And you're like, oh, I'm just starting this business. Where do I get the money from? But I can assure you, technology goes a long way. It also shows professionalism. So at least come up with a list of what you need to do and then highlight the critical ones. So it's more or less like you're doing what you call a risk assessment to help you prioritize your limited resources. So where are the high areas, the high impact areas, and where you really need to put some money into?
Yeah.
And also consult experts. What I've noticed is when you reach out to experts, at times they don't really respond to you and they don't do it on purpose. It's just because they've had nasty experiences, right? Imagine someone takes up 1 hour of your time and keeps going around and around and around. So if you need to reach out to people, please feel free to do that. whether on LinkedIn, whether on Instagram, send them a message. Be very concise. Let them know what you're asking for. And be sure to ask. You want to know if they offer it, if it's a paid service. And then you want to delegate. You want to outsource. So for example, you know, for ladies, aside from work and all of these things, we have chores, we have to cook and all of that. So you also need to discuss with your partner. He or she needs to get on board, because at times it's going to get so stressful. I can tell you for sure that at times, you know, you're so busy that you even forget to make food. It can be that bad. Or your kids are coming to you and you tell them, I'm busy, come back later. So you need to be careful to make sure that as you try to set up your business, you don't neglect your kids,
yeah,
your family as well. And of course, you don't want your job at work to suffer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you start under delivering at work, then you're going to start tying it back to, is it because of your outside business activity? So you need to be careful. And then for sure, advertising is very key. So maybe you want to reach out to people, or you want to do a lot of ads, social media ads. Having a website is very key. In North America, most people go by websites.
Yeah.
They want to go to your website. So all of that still ties back to technology.
That's good. That's good. Thank you for that. There's a lot that everybody listening to this can actually take away and help themselves in their business as well. So thank you very much for coming on the show. If people want to find out about Winfinity Consulting, how can they find out or reach out to you?
Okay, so they could send us an email. So info@winfinityconsulting.com. Or they could visit our website, Winfinity, spelled Winfinite consulting.com. Or they could reach out to us via Instagram. So our handle is Winfinity IT Consulting. Or if they want to reach out to me personally, they could search for Fala Shadi Adegoke on LinkedIn and send me a message from there.
Thank you very much for coming on the show, Fala.
Thank you so much, Tokbe. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Have a great day.